Joining us now. Unless he's retiring like Woj and just didn't tell anybody. He is the best in the business when it comes to baseball. Charles Robinson told me that many, many years ago before he was even at ESPN. And we are not on his list of do not answer this call in his phone contacts. It is Jeff Passan on Wilde and Tausch. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Gentlemen, it's good to be back.
It's great to have you. How often does Jesse reach out to you
and
you ignore
him?
I would say probably 3 out of every 4 times I ignore him.
Okay, that's fair.
Every week I'm like, hey, Jeff, wow, what did you think of that game against the Cardinals on Monday? That was pretty cool, huh?
No, you know, let me look. No, you know what? I respond every time. I just often say no. I think that's what it is.
But he didn't this time.
It's all that matters.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah, it was. You know what it was? It was one of those things where it's like, A, it's the end of the season, and there comes a point. I tend to like try and push things off. It's not that I'm a procrastinator. It's just that I don't like people, and so I tend to push things off. And with the season nearing an end now, and the Brewers celebrating, it's like, yeah, now you know what? Now's a perfect, like an excellent time to go on and talk some crew.
All right. Well, we can't wait to have you again next September. So Tausch has some theories on the Brewers and the way the fans and the expectation game and everything else that I want to get to. But I think back to when your crew was at Yahoo and all the big time people that have come out of there now, and seeing Woj step away to have a different quality of life and be the GM for the St. Bonaventure basketball program and everything else. I did think of you, and I know you guys kind of shared the byline on how he told ESPN, but I am curious because, God, you work your tail off. And truth be told, Tausch and I don't, and Jesse definitely doesn't. So I'm curious, can you give us a glimpse of what this job is like? Because you and Schefter and Woj, like, I got to be honest, I don't know how you do it, quite frankly.
Yeah, neither do I. It's late nights. It's early mornings. It's a lot of time spent on the phone. It's important events interrupted. I can't lament it because I chose it. But number two, look at what I get to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like earlier this week, I was watching, or excuse me, like last week, I was watching the worst baseball team ever and getting to write about them. And then a couple days later, I was hanging out with Bryce Harper watching Game Day. And then a couple days later, I'm, seeing the Detroit Tigers of all teams come out of nowhere and getting to write a story about this great surge that they have. So, nobody should feel bad that I work hard. A lot of people work hard. A lot of
no
people
doubt.
Sacrifice. A lot of people do things. If I didn't enjoy it still, I would do what Adrian did. I love the fact that he has now, like, paved the way for the rest of us to retire early. it's funny, right? But I'm being sincere when I say that. Because I think a lot of people, and especially people who've had great success in whatever industry they're in, they're scared to go away from it because it becomes part of their identity. And I think what Woj showed yesterday and will continue to show, over the next few years is he builds up St. Bonaventure into a college basketball powerhouse. We all contain multitudes. And if we have the gumption to go and jump from one thing to another and we're willing to take that risk, then God bless, go for it and go do what makes you happy in that moment.
So, Jeff, did it make – obviously, it seems like it made you pause a little bit and think, is – does that tend to give you an idea of how long you're going to keep doing this?
Oh, I've had that number in my head for way longer than Adrian was planning on doing this. It, like – so, yes, there is a distinct point in time where I know I will go and do something different.
What do you think that's going to be?
Yeah, Tausch takes a lot of days off. We're always looking for fill-ins.
Touche.
That is a thing that only my wife knows.
Okay,
and so we're gonna keep it that way for now.
All right, we were just trying to break news like you always do. That's all. So Jeff, when you look at this Brewer team and how this season played out, the beginning of council leaves for the Cubs were shocked. Our trade burns. Woody's out. So we're thinking rebuild. We're going to have to reload this young team. We've had a lot of success, not postseason. And then this happens this year. From a national perspective, are you as surprised as maybe some of us are that this team was able to clinch the division still with 10 games left?
I am, but I shouldn't be. And that's what I think this year has taught me about the Milwaukee Brewers, that this is one of the best organizations in Major League Baseball. And what I mean by that is, to me, the hallmark of a great organization is sustainability amid change. When you operate in a small market and have low revenues like the Brewers do, and have an ownership group particularly that has not shown a willingness to go out and spend in free agency, you are going to have to maneuver deftly, and to do so almost at times in a fashion that to fans will be painful. And it's a really, really hard thing to do when you have a fan base like the Brewers, which I think, you know, you normally see maneuvering like this with Tampa Bay, for example, and, you know, Matt Arnold cut his teeth down there, and so he knows what that's like. The difference is the Rays just, they don't have a lot of fans. The Brewers do. And so the ability to normalize disappointing your fans by getting rid of players that they love and that they've grown attached to, it absolutely necessitates winning. That is the only way you can run your franchise like that in a city that has a legitimate fan base. And that's what the Brewers have been able to do. And I give them a lot of credit. They're really good at identifying talent. They're really good at developing talent. They're really good at finding things that other organizations may not see in players and bringing it out in them. And when I talk about finding talent, I mean, you know, William Contreras, for example. I don't know that anyone saw him being best hitting catcher in baseball. The Brewers did. They went out and they got him in developing talent. Jackson Churio, he signed for, you know, pretty big bonus, but it was certainly not the biggest in the class. And yet at 20 years old, he's doing things we've never seen 20-year-olds do. And seeing things that other organizations don't. Tobias Myers was an afterthought and now is an integral part of this team's postseason rotation. And there's example after example, guys, of this happening within the organization. And that, to me, illustrates just how solid and stable this group is and how good they are at what they do.
Talking with ESPN's Jeff Passan about the Brewers as they clinch their third NL Central title in 4 years. Jeff, I feel like, and again, you'll have to scroll back in your texts with Jesse to see if I'm right about this, but I feel like we talked to you spring training-ish, and there was talk about trading Willie Adames. There was obviously, this was a team in transition after Craig Counsell's departure. In addition to what you just talked about in terms of identifying talent, how do we explain, you know, whether it's Pat Murphy, whether it's Matt Arnold, whether it's guys, you know, overcoming what maybe were low expectations, how do we explain this team being 24 games over 500, given everything they went through in a tumultuous offseason that had them potentially trading away some of their stalwart players that they eventually chose to keep?
Well, I think there are a few elements to it. One is the continued development of the younger guys. William Contreras took a step forward this year. Mm-hmm. Joey Ortiz, I think, for a while there certainly, and still to some extent, has outperformed expectations. And even a guy like Willy Adames, who's a veteran, you don't see shortstops hit 30 home runs and drive in 100 runs. You don't see it except for the elite guys. And I'm talking like either multiple-time All-Stars or Hall of Famers. Like, mm-hmm. those are the only shortstops in history to go 30 and 100. And so you've got that. But beyond that, let's just look at some of the guys who are playing every day. Sal Frelick, drafted and developed. Garrett Mitchell, drafted and developed. And that's what it goes back to. It's that, and it's finding arms that other organizations either take for granted or just don't realize how good they are, and mm-hmm. making them into something. Like, let's look at the bullpen in the second half for the Brewers has been exceptional. Devin Williams, since he's come back, has been Devin Williams, right? But beyond that, Joel Piamps, Aaron Ashby turning into a pretty solid reliever, Joe Ross being like the multi-inning guy, Peguero, Brian Hudson when he's been healthy. Like, those are all guys with sub-3 ERAs. And when you look at just the organization as a whole, they've got a top-5 ERA. They're top, like, 7 or 8 in runs scored, home runs, stolen bases. They're just really balanced. And, there is probably one superstar on this team, and he's 20 years old. So it's not like this is a team that's laden with all-stars mm-hmm. from top to bottom. It's just that 1 through 26, they're really good. Like, the bottom guys, the 20 through 26 are as strong as you're going to find in any organization. And it's that depth at the bottom that allows them and allows Pat Murphy to play matchups like he has and to run a bullpen as deftly as he has. And, Pat Murphy's done this, guys. Like, Pat Murphy has done this for decades. And so the notion that he would have the levels of success that he did in college and wouldn't be able to translate that knowledge to the game, to the big leagues, it's foolish to think. Like, if you know ball, you know ball, and Pat Murphy knows ball.
So, Jeff, now that, the Brewers are in the postseason, and I don't know if they'll get one of those top two. It's looking, they're going to have some things fall their way. What are the expectations?
They're not that far off. I think, game back of the Dodgers at this
game
point?
Game or two back. Yeah, I think two from the Phillies and one. Yeah. So hopefully, but let's say they don't. What do you think the expectations are? Because the question I keep having is, we cover the Packers extensively. There is no aw shucks, good season type deal. And I think with the Brewers, I think it's almost all financial related as far as if they get knocked out in the playoffs. How do you see it? And do you think it's because the Dodgers and the Phillies have these massive payrolls? How do you view this nationally if the Brewers don't get it done? Is it, they've gotten the most out of their talent? That's the battle lines that we're trying to figure out here in Wisconsin.
I think that's a very reasonable question, and I from the outside, I have a hard time answering it because I don't know what those expectations are. What I do know is that since they lost in the NLCS in 2018, they haven't been back, and mm-hmm. and that at some point, if you have enough successful seasons and enough playoff appearances. It gets frustrating when you don't advance further than the first couple of rounds. To me, it's hard to sit here and be disappointed or get angry at that because it's not as if this is a window that is closing. I think the Brewers are going to be good for a long time. I think they've got the core in place to be good, and I think they've got the farm system to, frankly, get even better. And It's, you know, the top of their farm system, guys, is really strong. Cooper Pratt, what do you guys know about Cooper Pratt?
Not a lot.
Okay. Cooper
tell us Cooper more, Pratt, Jeff.
Cooper Pratt was a sixth-round pick out of high school last year. And I believe he is going to be going up to Double A this week as a 20-year-old. There are two guys who were drafted in high school who are at that level or higher, and it would be him and Bryce Eldridge, who was a first-round pick and is a monster in the Giants organization. So the fact that Cooper Pratt is ascending the way that he is, really impressive. Do you guys know who Jesus Mate is?
Of course, but tell us more anyway.
I mean, you should, because if we're going to not pronounce it the way that it's pronounced, his name looks like it's Jesus made. And the way that he has performed has been Jesus made, because he has been absolutely awesome in, you know, in short season Dominican League. He's a shortstop. He is a switch hitter. And the way he hits the ball is special. And I've been getting a lot of Jackson Churio comparisons with him. So, yeah, like they're just the things that the Brewers have done well, they are continuing to do well. I would love to say at some point Mark Adonisio is going to go out and, you know, up the payroll and spend some money and make this into do what Kansas City did, for example. You know, the Royals went out and they locked up Bobby Witt Jr. For $288 million, and they spent another $100 million guaranteed, and they brought in Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, and they're going to make the playoffs this year. The Brewers at this point, it's almost like, how did they supercharge themselves, and what can they do? And I'll be curious to see how they handle Willy Adames, because there are a lot of teams out there that like Willy Adames and that are going to be prioritizing him this, this offseason.
We'll save the discussion of what a savant you are for another day, that you can do this with every major league ball club, that you can be just dropping the top prospects and Tausch and I pretend like we've heard their names before.
Admittedly, I'm a real nerd. So, like, that plays in my favor.
All right. Nevertheless, it is still impressive talking with Jeff Passan of ESPN about the Brewers and about the playoff picture in Major League Baseball. So, Jeff, who do you like? Who do you like? Do you like the Brewers in the NL?
This is gonna sound. I don't like anyone. That's my problem with teams this year. I don't think there's a great team in baseball this year.
Does that help the Brewers?
It could, sure. I think here's my issue, right? This year, as much as any, this is my 21st year covering baseball, and I feel like this year, as much as any season, October is wide open. Mm-hmm. And, you know, October's already about, okay, who gets hot, right? And that's something that's really, really difficult to predict. So, it absolutely could be the Brewers. And if they are the three seed, and it would be pretty delicious to see like David Stearns against the Brewers, right? In year one, we're almost at the point also where it's going to be AJ Hinch against the Astros. So those 3-6 matchups in both leagues look like they could be super cool at this point, but I think it's a coin flip, especially with the way that the Mets can hit. Like, the Mets have a dangerous offense, and, you know, as solid as the Brewers' offense has been this year, if Francisco Lindor is back, I would probably take the Mets' offense over. And Jose Quintana has been unhittable, and Luis Severino and David Peterson and Sean Manai have all been awesome. Like, the Mets are a dangerous team, and so the notion that the Brewers are just going to waltz into the division series, no, like, they have to beat a good team. I will say this, though, I think it's a lot harder being in the National League this year than it is the American League. I have much more faith in National League teams, and think that, you know, I think you can make an argument that the five best teams in the National League are better than any American League team.
All right, Jeff, I know you got to go, and you always devote so much time to us, which we appreciate. But two things first, and I know this is going to disappoint you, but I don't think you're going to get any bowling stuff out of this one. I don't, you know, it's been a while.
What a shame.
So
he means that. I know he does.
You can hear the disappointment in his voice.
I mean,
it's
I can find
whatever
you want it. I mean,
Jeff, why did the Cubs end up the way? I mean, I understand they're not fully eliminated, but what the hell happened down there? Because Jesse has loved every minute of it because of his despising of Craig Counsell for leaving him.
Are you still like? Even after Jesse, even after the Cubs fell on their face, and the Brewers won the division, you're still like, see that's the kind of sports I'm all for sports pettiness, but that's a little too far. Like,
preach!
Bro, you won.
Yeah, Jesse,
it is so much cooler to win. And just walk around like brushing your shoulders off and being cool about it than to sit there and carry around hatred.
Yeah, Jesse.
No, it's cool to point to the people that are outside the building and aren't allowed in and see Craig Counsell leading the charge of the Cubs out there, too. I said earlier, I'm so happy. Like, there's a beautiful nature to the Brewers clinching the division title this season in particular with Craig Counsell and the Cubs losing. And then, of course, the Brewers walking off the Phillies last night and celebrating like they had won a series also. Like, that added to it as well. But winning and clinching the division on the Cubs losing was delightful.
Listen, sometimes these little poetic moments happen. And you really should appreciate them. I think, you know, the most amazing thing to me about the Brewers, I don't know if you guys knew this, but they have the best run differential in baseball right now.
I did know that, yep.
And when I look at the Cubs guys, the Cubs run differential actually isn't bad. Like, the Cubs are plus 63 at this point, and yet they're only two games over 500, same record as the Cardinals, who are minus 56. What that tells me is that the Cubs bullpen was a real hindrance in detriment to this team. And it wasn't until the end of the season, you know, when Porter Hodge emerged and they got some better innings out of Tyson Miller, who they got from Seattle on a waiver claim. Like, you know, they found guys. It was just too little too late. And they've had some injuries and they've had some ineffectiveness. And all of that is a formula for a team that's going to underachieve. I think when it comes down to it, guys, the Cubs don't have a single star. Like, what's the closest thing they have to one? Yep. Aya Suzuki? Ian Happ? I mean, I think Pete Crow Armstrong's got it in him. Cody Bellinger has had it in him, but he had, like, half the season he did last year. And when Nico Horner and Dansby Swanson are both OPSing under 700 and Isak Paredes has kind of been a mess since coming over, like, the Cubs are just really lacking star power at this point. And I think that's the kind of thing that's coming back to bite them. No one to carry them.
Boy, you really are a nerd. That's impressive. All right, before we let you go, Jesse went down.
That is a huge compliment.
I know it is. I knew you would take it that way.
What you don't understand when you're younger is that nerds run the world. So,
And Jesse runs this show. So, speaking of Jesse, before we let you go, he went down Bernie's slide on Tuesday. Of all the things you've done, you just ran through what a great career and how lucky you are to do what you do and everything else. Have you been down Bernie's slide, and can we get you hooked up during the playoffs, if not?
I have not been down Bernie's slide. After seeing what happened to Vasse last year and after having my own unfortunate broken bone in 2023, I'm not gonna say I'm taking a pass, but I'm gonna have to scout it and see what the you know, what the exit velocity is going to be, and if I can stop myself.
That's actually why I stopped texting him for a while. When I texted him the one day, he goes, "I broke my back yesterday." Like, oh, okay, never mind.
Well, we are glad that you're healthy and healthy enough to join us. Jesse will give you all the tips to safely go down Bernie's slide without incident. He's an expert in it now. Just ask him. He'll tell you. Jeff, we try not to bother you too often, but every time we get done talking to you, we think how great it is to have you, and we're lucky to have you when we do get you. Thanks for making time for us, man. You're the best.
I appreciate you, boys. It's always fun. Thank you for having me.